Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has great things in store for those who receive His Word in their hearts. And the words take root, and they're willing and obedient with the Word, and they continue to go forward. And they bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit with patience. And they're alive to God. Whatever they do in the sight of others. And they go down in history as a notable person, a capable person, a wise person, a loving person, a trustworthy person. And people know it because they see their everyday conversation, their everyday way of living. And this is very important, because when people live the godly life before men, they're bearing fruit, they're representing Jesus in every way. And when this process of life happens, we receive the Word. We allow the Word to grow root in us in our good and honest heart. Then we bear fruit with patience. We become like Jesus, who is just like God. Remember, Satan said he would exalt his throne above all the realms, you know, the stars, the clouds. He'll also sit in the great congregation and then be like the clouds above that realms, and then be like the Most High. With Jesus, in Ephesians 4, he was set by God above all kingdoms. And then it says in John said over there in John chapter 3, or 1 John chapter 3 or 4, he said, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And in other words, in our daily life and activity, the Lord designed us to operate just like God. Amazing. And He made us vessels of honor, those that love Him, those that are faithful, those that are willing and obedient. He calls us to be like Jesus. In other words, if you like Jesus, you like God. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I love this. See, every one of us, if we take the high road, if we operate according to the wisdom of the Word, the logic of the Word, the love of the Word of God, the purity of the holiness of the Word of God, and we handle holy things with a holy attitude, a wise attitude, a loving attitude, and we forgive those that offended us because we love just like God, and we operate in wisdom just like God. We receive the counsel of God, and we end up operating just like God. And He already put us over. We're the body of Christ. So we share in the heavenly reign of Christ. We share in all that God is doing. We're representing the love of God. And we came from darkness. We were born in a fallen world. And we always continually choose the way of God. We choose the love of God. We choose to operate like Him. We choose to do what's right. When we make biblical decisions, we're choosing the biblical way of life. When we take time and learn the things of God and learn of Him, we take time and understand. We take time and go forward. We choose the ways of God. And it's notable. It's always notable. You cannot hide a city that's set on a hill. We're the light of the world, salt of the earth. He set us up to operate no different than the Father. And you know, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, the people, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will have everlasting life. Live forever with God. That's so inspirational. That's so blessed. You just can't get enough of it. But it also means that Jesus willingly came and became a living sacrifice. Then, as he is, so are we in this world. When we receive that agape love of God, and we love the refreshing love of God, we love his ways, his will, his word, nothing can separate us from that love. When the word grows roots in us, we become born of God. If somebody threatened our lives, just like that girl at Columbine High School, she did not deny Jesus, even though she got killed. She died a martyr. Who would have thought that she was going to be a martyr that day? But guess what? She was living on ready. Now, how many people are living on ready? The only kind of people that are rapturable, the only kind of people that died and they are in the dead and Christ will rise first, they all have one thing in common. They were living on ready. Living on ready is not keeping a bunch of rules and regulations. It's just receiving the love of God and living accordingly. Those who live on ready are just like Jephthah. They're just like Paul after his conversion. When Pharisee Saul got saved, he was renamed Apostle Paul. When Simon Peter, he kept on. Jesus was fishing to see who would believe him. Who do men say that I am? Some say one of the prophets. Some say Elijah, Jeremiah, whatever. Who do you say that I am? Jesus said, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, on this rock I build my church. And he called him Peter. On this rock, Petrus, the rock of revelation knowledge. You see, Peter was put first. It was always Peter, James, and John. When they saw Jesus coming on the water, Peter was the one that spoke up, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he walked on water too. So Peter is just like David, who saw Goliath and went to battle. David was very wise in the way he handled that whole situation. What's going to happen to the man that defeated him? Sometimes people don't look for reward. Rewards can bless you. And they told him, Saul said that his father's house will be free in Israel. He'll be able to marry the king's daughter. He'll get whatever all the rewards were. A wise person will receive rewards. This is why. It's not for selfish gain. You know, I'm the kind, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I don't put a tariff on preaching the gospel. I preach to anybody that'll listen to me. And I go to wherever, you know, I don't mind going to a church and preach. I'm not asking for money to go. If they want me to come, I'll make it my business to be there. You know, I was always that way from the beginning, willing and obedient. People say, how much you charge to come and preach? Nothing. I know that the labor's worthy of his hire. But when I used to do the Good News Letter, I didn't make money on it. When I did the Living Letter Ministries, the first version, I was just passing them out of church, I didn't make money on it. I was just trying to be a blessing to others. The radio ministry, I don't do that for money. I invite people to give to help free the cost of it. And there's a lady that faithfully gives, and I thank God for her. And She do it because God told her to. And every time she give, it's at a time I really need her to. I thank God for her. See, when you're faithful, God's going to bless you and reward you. I know that the rewards are important. See, when you obey God, the reward, you don't have to beg, borrow, and steal and do squirrely stuff. You know, the efforts you put forth, you will be rewarded. And the Lord, you can't beat God-given. You're in good standards. If you obey God, you're all right. But see, the more you receive, the more you can do. You know. And faithfulness. And I thank God for the radio station I come on. I'm on more than one station. I'm on two stations that I do know of. That's WJLD and WIXI in Jasper. Thank God for that. And you know, I thank God for that. And they didn't even charge me more. I thank God for that. And I thank them for it too. They didn't charge me a penny more. And they haven't even gone up. You know, when you're doing God's work, God has so many ways of blessing you. And anybody that help you, they're gonna share in that reward. And spiritual wealth is very important. It's going to become more important than you think. Because when you have spiritual wealth on your life, Jesus said, buy me gold. See, we are fruitful, and when you multiply and God rewards you, you're able to be more faithful. You're able to do more things. You're able to reach more people. It's not just about, people have made it about financial things, but God is always the same. The more than all the blessings and benefits of following God, think about this for a minute. The Lord, He made us capable of operating just like God. And He made us like Him. And He was passionate about it. And He loved us so much. And He came to help us. He's helping us help others, everybody that hear us. See, I was thinking about this morning. Most ministers, it can be rare in a way, that they win their own household and their own family and cousins and neighborhood people. That can happen. But most of the time, it'd be somebody else. But see, everybody that lives for Jesus, that lifestyle cannot be hidden. It's a public, it's a display of love. It's notable. And it can't be hidden. And so, when you live according to God's word, you affect everybody who behold you. But usually, somebody else will win your family, your loved ones. Because the enemy got a way of tricking people. Well, they saw how you were before you got saved, or they watched you grow up. And now you're living for God. You're a vessel of honor now. You're sanctioned to do God's work. They look at you with skeptical eyes and jealousy and envy. So it takes the wisdom of God to penetrate a hard heart. If they harden their heart against you, then, you know, it can happen though. You know, it can happen. My sister says she became rededicated to the Lord when I was preaching. She received a revelation that God loves her. So it's important, because people go through all forms of hardships that harden their heart. And it takes people. But it's rare that happens. Most time, the people that win your family members is somebody else. And it takes a long time for children to come around and realize their parents were there for them in every way. Now listen to this. This is Luke 8, chapter 5, verse 15. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 15. This is the ending of the parable of the sower. Now this is the good ground. It said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, sometimes people are looking to bear fruit today, and they just sowed a seed this morning. Well, you have to be good as a way of life. You have to let your light shine as a way of life. Every day, day in, day out, when nobody's looking, when everybody's watching, you do the same thing. You just love God and keep His commandments. You love God, you love others, you love the Word. That's what you do. If you get a chance to work miracles, you work miracles. If nothing seems to happen, you keep on working miracles. You can lay hands on a person and they limp away, but the next day they come, you know, the next few days they leaping and running again. Or it can be like the man at the beautiful gate. You lay hands and immediately they heal. Sometimes you lay hands on people and they still feel bad. They have to carry them out in the same wheelchair, but then they end up walking. I've seen all kind of situations and heard about great situations and experienced healing. My pastor lay, my heels were hurting. The shoes I had, I guess, made my heels hurt. And I think my left leg was worse than my right. And so when pastor laid hands on my ankle, he told me to sit on the first pew and hold up the leg that's hurting. So I held up my left leg. He laid hands on my foot and then another lady's foot. And he felt the anointing going. I didn't, but he did. And I went on and back to the praise team, played the bongo drums like I do. But that evening, that afternoon, same afternoon, we were at the track walking. And my left leg felt great. And then compared to the left leg, the right leg was hurting. But it didn't seem to hurt her. It was just a difference. I said, why did I do it? Why didn't I just raise up both of them and let him lay hands on both of them? But nevertheless, they feel good now. They feel equal again. I pray that they'll feel better, and eventually they did. They felt equal. But my left leg was notably much better than my right. And I felt foolish for not raising both legs to let him lay hands on. When we sow good seeds, when we do the things of God, we do it. When I say publicly, I don't mean just on the earth realm publicly. I mean creation publicly. Everything that we do, it is being recorded. Nobody's walking around with a camera recording on earth. But I'm going to put it to you this way. This is really how it is. When I say it's recorded, all the witnesses, every person who saw what you did or you received healing, they saw this. The people at church, the people who hear about it, it's recorded in their memory, just like a witness in a courtroom. And all things are recorded by God. All things are recorded by Satan's realm. Satan, the fallen angels, the abominations, the demons, you know, demons are the offspring of fallen angels and earth women, giants. You know, they were giants and they died and they roam the earth and create chaos. That's what a demon is, disembodied spirit of the giants of all abominations. And also beasts, angels and beasts. Ungodly things. And when you defeat one, when you defeat it, Satan hates it because you defeat his kingdom publicly. All the angels know it. They saw it. It's recorded. And also, in heaven, they have divine, you know, God can show you a vision of the past. So everything we do, whatever it is, it's recorded. But when all of your sins, you know, that can be embarrassing knowing that your sins are recorded. But they are. There's no such thing as a secret. Everything you do is documented. But guess what? When you believe on Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, it's forgotten. Your sins are gone. It's as if you didn't sin at all. But so don't go pick them back up. Don't get in strife and pick it up, pick all your nasty sins back up. Stay cleansed by the blood. Live on ready. There's no reason to sin. There's no reason to choose to live against the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the blessings of God. If a man vandalized and stole your possessions, understand something. The things that you got the right way, the value of it can never be taken. Now, they can steal your possessions and things like that. But when you have spiritual wealth on your life, God can give you back the years that the cankerworm made. So some people go through tragedy, and they may have a spouse that get angry and take everything and move away and run the credit cards up and leave town and make a big fat mess of things. But if you handle things biblically, you actually can take back what Satan stole from you. You sure can. You can tell Satan you can't take that. And whatever they stole, you can say you got to bring it back. How does that work? First man I heard talk about that, he had a message about that. Taking back what the devil stole. Taking back what Satan stole. And that was Lynn Lawson at the Church of Gardendale years ago. When somebody told me, he said, before you get married, buy everything you want, because it's going to be hard to get some of the things you want when you get married. So I took them seriously. I bought a motorcycle. I had a car. I bought a few tools. I bought some things. But I bought a motorcycle because I wanted to live an active life. I wanted to, me and my wife, to ride that motorcycle and enjoy the weekend. And, you know, I wasn't the kind to go out there and race a motorcycle and get all hurt. You know, I meant just ride for fun. And so I tried to do that. I really wanted my life to work the way I wanted it to. I wanted to go swimming on the weekend, go riding motorcycles, go to the parks, things like that. Well, just before I got married, somebody stole my motorcycle. And then I heard that sermon by Lynn Lawson. And I said, Satan, you know what? You own it. I want my motorcycle back. I'm going to get it too. And it's going to come. It's going to cost the kingdom of darkness. It's coming back to me. I sure said that. And I even had dreams that I had it back. So I eventually bought one just like it. And for $200 or $250, whatever, $250, fixed it up. But the enemy tried to kill me. Now, that's another story for another day, but since I brought it up, I ended up getting the value of that motorcycle back brand new. The check I got from the insurance company was about the same as what I paid for the original motorcycle, and then I got compensated for the time I got hurt, and the helmet that was broken, it belonged to the city, and I bought it and took it, you know. I bought one just like it and replaced it because it was borrowed. And my medical bills and all the bandages that my sister bought, the insurance company paid for all that stuff. And then the time I took off work, the 2 weeks I was off work. And I lived. See, the night I got hit on the motorcycle, the enemy was actually trying to kill me. And I had a dream the night before that I dreamt that me and four other guys was fishing. And one of the guys was trying to catch a 15-pound, what looked like a 15-pound bass with a 10-pound test line. So he was trying to wear the fish down. So he waded out in the water, but it wasn't a fish, it was a serpent. It was 30 feet long. When it stuck his head out, it looked like a 15-pound bass, and that's a big bass, big mouth bass. But it was a 30-foot-long serpent, and it had a head like a fish, and it had scales like a fish. So this thing bit him, and he collapsed underwater. And I went to get the other guys. I said, let's go get our friend out and go and kill this fish. That was just that. That's how, that was that warrior's heart of mine. I don't believe in letting Satan take nothing. And the night I did this, that was before Brianna was born, my niece. And I was at my brother-in-law's house, working on his house, helping him get it. I came back the next day. I rode the motorcycle the next day. He said, "Man, I had a dream about you. I dreamt we were riding around in the truck like we were the night before. And then we got hit, and I didn't feel my body no more." So I prayed for him, and he prayed for me. See, God set things up. I got hit by a car on the way home. We had painted Brianna's room. I got hit by a car. I'm sliding down the freeway on I-59 in the Center Point area. He just got on the freeway. And I slid a long time. And I almost got hit by two cars. But I called Jesus' name. And then I called his name again, loud as I could, Jesus. And I knew I was going to live and be all right. And when I stopped sliding, I almost got ran over by a car. And the angel threw me, had to throw me out of the way. And there's no way I could have got out of the way. The man that hit me, his name was Leggett. He thought that the car ran over me, but it didn't. No bones were broken. I was skinned up. But I was glad to be alive. And I'll never forget that fireman. He had me laughing. I went to the hospital, and at the hospital they said they call motorcycles donor cycles. But I lived and I healed. And Dr. May prayed for me. The leg that got, my knee got skinned up. A few weeks after that, I saw the anointing on him. I let him lay hands on me, and he did. And that week, that Tuesday, I went back to work. We were off on Monday in those days. I hadn't tried to run in about a month. So I took off running to my car. My leg has never hurt me since then. I can see my leg. I work out. I'm 58 years old now. This was way back in 2021 when I had the wreck. But I got all the things. See, the enemy tried to kill me, but I took back what was stolen. Just like Lynn Lawson preached years ago. And see, one time I was at a wedding in Mississippi, and I had locked my truck up. I had a kill switch on my truck. I turned the kill switch on. And I knew that somebody was in Birmingham trying to steal my truck in real time. I knew it by the Holy Spirit. So I started doing warfare. I said, "Satan, you cannot steal my truck. You will not steal my truck. You can't touch nothing on my truck. My truck will be there when I get back." I came back that Sunday, and that Monday I went out to work. And I noticed my toolbox was open. I said, "I don't remember leaving that open. I forgot about all that." And I looked for some tools that I didn't have. I didn't see it. A man came from the alley and said, "Man, are you missing the toolbox?" First I said, "No." And then I thought about it. I didn't see that. I didn't have my wrench I was looking for. I said, "Did it have a number 7 on the box?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's my toolbox. That used to be my number at the dealership." And he said, "Well, I turned it into the police." He said, "They were in your yard trying to steal your truck. But they got the toolbox. They saw the police, and they left the toolbox on my porch." So I went down, and this is documented now. I went down. I had to go get a notary to notarize that was my toolbox. So somewhere, I don't know where it is, but I have a notary when I went and got my toolbox back. And the only thing that they got away with was my pickle fork to do tie rod ends and an 18 millimeter wrench. But my truck was still there. And I, of course, prayed for the thief and forgave him, of course, because that's what you do. You know, we are set up to live just like God. Just because the devil is gone. Daniel said that the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand. So we're trying to win souls that are sometimes against us, hard-headed, unreasonable, but it's always worth it to let your light shine in all situations. not just to live on ready so you'll be rapture ready, but live on ready because when we live on ready, we win souls. Our light is shining. People need to see us stable in all conditions, in every which way there is. When people do us right, we walk in love. When people do us wrong, we still walk in love. When people steal from us, we pray for their soul. You know, and we tell Satan he can't use them. When people start a gunfight, you tell Satan he can't kill anybody, he can't hurt anybody in the name of Jesus. See, the blood is against all that. The blood gave us full salvation. We have full power. Satan has no covenant. We have all covenants. We are full of covenants. We are God's people. We've been made joint heirs with Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. But see, when the word grows roots, when we don't let the thorns choke the word, the cares of this world, live carefree. Don't let this world trouble you. Don't let the things of this world bring you down. Supersede it. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of when the spirit of heaviness comes to attack. Every time. Always be on ready. I've been confessing and praying that the Lord will help me always be covenant appropriate in everything. Consider these things because God is love. He wants us to fully represent him. And it's very important to live on ready. Because the Lord is going to return them. But those who are sincere will be ready. They will be like the wise, five wise virgins, not the foolish and unbelieving, but the five wise who love God, who treasure his word. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God.